have looked forward to the service tonight with two different kinds of feelings. One, a feeling of tremendous joy in my heart, knowing that God cares for people enough to give them guidance and direction. And then the other feeling, a tremendous responsibility. I feel that the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart to bring to you are things that possibly many of us know. But to have God articulate them so clearly and call our attention to these things, it adds a weight. Father, I ask tonight that you would come into this room by the power of your Spirit. I feel a tremendous responsibility tonight, Father. For I'm so aware of those things that you brought to me by a heavenly messenger. They're things that must be awfully close to your heart. I pray, God, that by your Spirit, you will say what I'm unable to say. We look forward to a wonderful day, dear Lord, a beautiful day. We know that there are responsibilities placed upon your children. I pray that we will never fail you. I ask one thing especially tonight, that those who may be questioning in their minds and their hearts whether these things be so, that you will stand by them, that you would confirm your word to their hearts. For I have nothing to prove tonight, and you know it. This congregation knows it. But I ask that you would prove something very special to us. Praise God. Praise God. I know that tonight you're here by the power of your Spirit. And I know also that this heavenly messenger is here tonight. Praise God. I was mentioning to someone this afternoon that that
these experiences that the Lord has allowed me to have part in and to share with you have not been just empty dreamings or imaginations. That every time that God has dealt with me, He has honored the Word and has brought the Word of God to me in great force, in supporting power, so that if the words and the excitement and the strength of the moment, if I drifted from that, the power of the Word will remain, because the Word, you see, is something that is settled forever in heaven. Now, there were three main areas that this angel spoke to me about and wanted me to remind you. And there are areas that, when he has met with me at other times, there have been numerous times, previous times, I wasn't aware of where or what source or God was using to minister and to speak to me. But in these last two experiences of this visitation by an angel, the references that he made to other times, do you remember some time ago? I believe it's been probably within the year, maybe just about a year ago now, the Lord allowed me to read and to become very alive, actually, with His Word, 20 chapters from the book of Isaiah, from Isaiah 40 through 60. I'm sure that most of you remember that. This the angel, as he spoke to me 2 weeks ago, last night, referred to the time that he made these verses so real to me. So I wasn't aware at that time where this direction was coming from, but now I know. And I believe, as I look back, there have been many times that God has sent this angel. Because in the whole vein of his dealing with me, he has not changed. It's been the same vein of truth that he's been bringing home. And there were a number of the things that he had brought to me at other times. He highlighted here so recently and said that because of the days in which we're living and what God is doing, that we must ready the people for the Lord. You remember 2 weeks ago I gave you that verse in Luke chapter 1 and verse 15, where he said that was the reason why he came, was to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children of the fathers, and to reach those who are disobedient and rebellious, and to prepare a people for the Lord. And in this preparation, the angel spent a long time dealing with me about what it would mean in this time of preparation. He reminded me of the truths that God made real to me a year and a half ago when he let me have a visit there in the throne room in heaven. And at that time, in allowing me to look into the record books, he allowed me to see that every individual has a record book. It's so vast, it's staggering, but the record books are there. And when I expected to see the things listed that I had thought God was recording, but when he let me look into Abraham and Sarah's book, he pulled it out, said, "Take a look," which I did. And I saw nothing in that book of the failures that in Abraham's life. There were the time when he staggered because of God's promise, the time when he failed God and told a lie to the king and said that his wife was his sister in order to spare his own life, and other things that Abraham was guilty of. But when I asked God, God, you must have another book, because many of the things that are recorded in your own book, the Bible, aren't recorded here. God said, I have no other book, but I don't record failure. I don't record failure. This angel, 2 weeks ago, stated that it was from these records that the believer's judgment would be used at the believer's judgment for rewards. This angel, of course, knowing God's plan and being so close to the Father, reminded me also of something that God made so real to me while I was there, and that is the great covering that he has given to us. And I'm mentioning these things because the three areas were knowing. He wanted me to remind you about God, God's character, what he is really like, what the desires of his heart toward people, the things that are important to God. He wanted me to remind you of that. The second was he wanted me to remind you of your position in God. And the third, he wanted me to remind you of the preparation for that day. The position, I'd like to mention this now. And the portion of Scripture that God placed in the Bible for us and made it so real in Numbers chapter, I'm not going to take it at length, but just make reference to it here. There's two chapters that especially regarding a king desiring a prophet to curse Israel because of their of what he saw and the type of living. He felt that they needed to be cursed and wiped off of the earth. And so he showed Balaam, the prophet, from different angles. But God had arranged this whole thing, as you'd see in the story, because he wanted to let us know what he was really like in our position before him. And God was, in dealing with me, let me know, went into the sacrifices. Let me see that sacrifice that Israel had put their trust in, which was a type of the great sacrifice of Christ that we're putting our faith in. But Israel, between those sacrifices, how they were covered by the blood of that sacrifice. Totally covered. And this was something that was very interesting, very important to me. And I asked God, is there a spot where I can actually see this at work? And God said, I've had it recorded. I planned it right there. And he gave me the chapters here in Numbers and told me the story before I ever read it here in Numbers, just exactly how it was. And I literally exploded when I saw this, because I've read the Bible through literally, I suppose, several hundred times. But I had never seen this beautiful truth. And God, stating that he looks at man from a different level than man does. God's eye view is on the top side of this covering. Man's eye view is on the underside. And in the chapter 23, in verse 21, God said, as Balaam said, they look terrible. God, look at all this. evil that's in the camp. God said that he had not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of the king is among them. Oh, that's a beautiful portion of Scripture. Then he said, I haven't beheld this. I can't see it through this covering. And he said, furthermore, I'm not going down and look under the covering where man looks. And so in the 23rd verse, he said, surely, I'm not going to let Satan bring any charges. I'm not going to let man bring any charges. There is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? God, how could you do it? They're not perfect. Some of those people lost their temper this morning. Some of them had other problems. How in the world could you do it? What hath God wrought? Then God let Balaam take a look at things the way he saw them. In the 24th chapter, God said, come up here now. You've looked at them from man's viewpoint. Look at them now through my eyes. And then Balaam wrote here and said, now, this is what I see now that my eyes are open. And I see it the way God sees it. And they don't look like the same people at all. Here's what I see now. He hath said, which heard the words of God and which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance but having his eyes open, he saw and said, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob. Not evil now. How goodly are thy tents, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. As the valleys are they spread forth, and as the gardens by the riverside, and as trees of linalos which the Lord hath planted, and as the cedar trees beside the waters. When God was making this real to me, he spoke of it as trees of perfume that were there, and as valleys filled with flowers, a flower garden, and trees that he personally had planted himself, because he takes such good care of each individual. And then it speaks of, he shall pour water out of his buckets upon them. Now God himself, not creating a great big irrigation system so he could open the floodgates and water them all at one time, but God taking individual care of each one, him coming down, planting, and watering each life. God, this is what he's doing for us tonight. He's caring for you. He's watering your life. I want you to grow strong and healthy in him. This troubled me when the Lord spoke along this line. And I said, God, what about Israel? They, during this time, if you had them so beautifully covered, how come you had to get after them over and over and over again in between those sacrifices? And God so plainly told me, there are two things. Other things may fall in that, those two categories, but two things that will take man out from under the covering. It's not that God removes the covering. It's not that God goes down and looks under it. But there are two things that cause man to be removed, or he removes himself. One is rebellion, and the other is idolatry. You look in the life of Israel, and you'll find that whenever God had to smite them and punish them, it was because of rebellion and because of idolatry. This has been referred to practically every time that the Lord has dealt with me, that He wants us to know our position in God. That as we desire to live for God, as we want Him as our God, that blood covering is there. Praise God. And He sees us through that covering, looking, as He said here, like those flowers, like those trees, like those that He has planted Himself. He sees us like Christ because we're accepted in Him, all wrapped up and covered in His love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With your faith in Him, He wants us to know this position. He wants us to know that that day that the Apostle Paul spoke of over in Timothy, where he said, I know whom I have believed. 2 Timothy, I believe it's 2:15. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. There was a day coming. And Paul knew that he had been committing some things to God to put in that book that God had. And the Lord was going to keep that. And on that day, there was going to be a time of beauty, a time of reward God was keeping for that day. There are a lot of people who will not be present at that day that Paul was talking about. That judgment of the believers, which is a judgment for reward as an athletic event or some other judging for merit. A lot of people will not be there. Only those who are under the covering, that have put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. When you put your faith in His sacrifice, what He's done, you're covered. But this angel really stirred my heart 2 weeks ago, last night, when he spoke of many, many people who in their hearts were rebelling against God, who were saying, I'll serve God if it's convenient, but if it isn't, I'll drag my heels. I'll find some other way. One lady told me that if God demanded, or of walking with Him, demanded the leaving of a life of immorality that she was in, and somebody told her that she could live in and still have fellowship with God. She said, if God doesn't want me the way I am, well, I'm not going to serve Him. I told her, lady, you've already rebelled in your heart. You've already said you don't want Him. It isn't something you're going to have to do some other time. You're already out. She saw she was filled with great fear when I told her that. I said, you're already out because you've rebelled against Him, purposely rebelled against God in not wanting to walk with Him, in not wanting God's plans. I'll tell you, God hates rebellion. Rebellion brings on the immorality that's in the world today. People who know what God's Word has to say about it are saying, well, I'm willing to take my chances. I'm going to rebel against what God said. God said, your bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost. He said, those who defile the temples of God, God will destroy. And if you've been defiling God's temple, the only way in the world you're going to be in this day when God says thanks. We're going to come to that in just a little bit. The only way in the world you're going to be in that day, there at that day, is to return to God in confession, giving yourself to Him. Those who are putting their faith in Him and walking with Him, there may be things that trouble them each day, but it doesn't require new confession all the time. Otherwise, you'd never know where you were. But the covering is there for those who have put their faith in the blood and want Him to be their king, moving with Him. Several things happen when a person rebels. And I have to say this tonight because I know that this angel that dwells in the right next to the throne of God is here tonight. And I know that I'm going to be called into account if I don't give you this message. That there are people who are rebelling against God because of a failure to love some other brother or sister in the Lord. They've allowed resentments to boil up inside of them. And the Word so definitely tells us to take heed lest a root of bitterness, resentment springs up inside of you, and you're hurt by it. And a lot of other people are troubled because of it. And if there's resentment in any of your hearts tonight against somebody else, in Jesus' name, because of God's desire to prepare you for His coming, get rid of that resentment. Go to that person. If it's the hardest thing you do, swallow your pride. Get a hold of them. Ask God to melt you together, that this resentment will be gone. If you have made a god of other things, and if the choice is there of serving God or serving your own appetites, you say, well, I'll take my chances. I'll serve my appetites. And the Word speaks of people whose god is their belly. But He's referring to appetites. Things that they would rather do than serve God. They love it. They love these things more than they love God. And He warned us against loving pleasure more than God. I have to tell you this tonight. There are people here that I may not know a thing about, but God does. God said you have to give that message. There has to be some confession and some melting together and the laying aside these things that have robbed you. Your life is a brittle bitterness day after day. I have some beautiful things to bring you, but I felt that this message was a time of warning as well as a time of great joy, talking about this day of liberation. There are some people who aren't going to be in that day if they don't recognize. And I feel that I'll be guilty before the Lord if I didn't let you know that this thing cannot go. Continue on. It does not please the Lord. It takes the covering away from you, and you stand exposed and naked before the eyes of Almighty God. Boy, that thing. I feel prompted of God right now to have a time before I give you what the Lord has given to me from His Word of guidelines for your life in this last day as we look forward to whatever the Lord has before us. And I, the things I'm going to tell you and read to you, they'll just encourage your heart because they come right out of God's big heart. They'll help you. But before we come to that, I would like for everyone in the room to stand right now. And if you feel that there has been something that has stood between you and another brother or sister who's in this building even tonight, or if there's something that troubles you with some person that may be at a distance or not here tonight, but you can write a letter, you can get on the phone, you can tell them that you know Jesus is coming and you're going to take care of these things. I feel that tonight God is speaking, and it's from His heart because He cares so much. I wonder right now, I'm going to ask every head to be bowed right now. I feel God is here, and He wants you to be a candidate for that great day when He says thanks. But there are a lot of people that aren't candidates tonight because they have allowed sin. They have allowed this rebellion against God to remove from them the great covering that hides the guilt and the sin and the stain. I'm not going to put you on the spot tonight just for putting to be on the spot. Nobody's looking. I feel that there's not one person here who would condemn you. God would love you for it. If you have something that has troubled you, if you'd like to make your way to that person, whether even if they don't know about it, and let them know if there's feeling there in your heart, get it out of the way, that this night could be a real special night for you, and take care of this thing. And then I'm going to tell you the other. I feel directed of God. I have to tell you this. This could be a crisis time for some lives. It may be impossible to complete a time of destroying a root during these moments. But every one of you that are examining your hearts and know that there's something that needs taking care of, and by the grace of God, you're going to do it. God is going to accept this determination of yours. And you're going to find the covering come back on you while you make your plans to take care of this thing. God is going to accept it because of your determination and your desires. You turn toward Him because rebellion will stop in your heart the moment you make that determination. I wonder right now, while heads are bowed, how many would lift their hands and say, I'm going to do this. There's something there that I'm going to take care of in Jesus' name. Nobody else is looking. I just want to see. God wants to see. And it's going to help you when your hand goes up. You're going to find a release in your heart. Praise God. Oh, I see hands all over the place. God, you see these hands. I don't know the problems, but you do, God. And right now, in Jesus' name, grant release to these people who have lifted their hands. God, may the covering come back over them right now. May the fear be gone. Because you're here, and you're covering them with that covering that filters out all of those things that could be against us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, Jesus. Would everyone in the building just like to lift your hands for a few moments? Just relax in Jesus right now. You've lifted your hearts before God. You've gotten that thing put on hold. And the blessing of God and the warmth of God's smile is here tonight. And you can just relax in Him. Praise God. He's not no divination. He's not going to listen to any lies from Satan. Satan can't charge you with anything. He's not going to listen to anything from people. They can't charge you with anything. God said, I'm not going to come down and look at you the way man sees you. For I'm looking at you from a different angle. Praise God forever. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Praise thy wonderful name. Praise thy wonderful, wonderful name forever. Glory to God. Glory, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise thy wonderful name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Just drink deeply of his spirit and of his life. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord forever. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. All right, you may be seated. I would like to let you know what God says are the things that he writes down in that book of his and that you're going to face on that day. Turn to Isaiah chapter 58. God wants you to know the things that are important to him, the things that he cares about, and they're going to be things that, because he cares about them, when you know how he feels, then you can care about the things that he cares about. God is speaking now, and he's telling what kind of a message to bring. He said, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen?" This is verse 6, Isaiah 58, verse 6. "Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke?" I want you to be interested in the things that I'm interested in, and I'm interested in people. "Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? And when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh." God is giving us a beautiful picture here of his heart. What he's literally telling us is that the things that are really important. And in this message the other night, it seemed like this angel built a beautiful comparison here. He said that there are a lot of things that people are doing that are good things, and they're things of this life and necessary things, things that need to be done. And they have a real value while they're here in this life. So it isn't that the things that you're doing are worthless. They have a reason here. But they are not all things that are going to remain and last on. Books that people may write, spend all their time writing books. Those books may have a value, but they're not going to remain. God has plenty of books there. Performance. Singing, unless it's directed to the need of a life, can be a performance that have a definite meaning and bearing as far as time, but it will not go on. Even sermons that are preached that may be giving out some information, but may be preached to a crowd of people, but not to the need of the person. They may help to guide and steer and motivate people, but they will not be something that actually remains. Buildings have a great purpose, but God doesn't need buildings over there. He's got buildings that put every building in this whole world to shame. He doesn't need them. Programs. Giving, if it's given for credit, he said, you get your reward right here. I feel that oftentimes people's missionary vision has really been hurt because people have said, well, can I get some credit for if I give so much for missions? And it's all right if people have to be motivated, but their giving isn't going down God's book there because he said it's going down somebody else's. And here, you're going to get your credit right here. The angel told me that these things, and these are the words, may have satisfying reward in this life. And they are important, but they will not remain. They will not remain. I asked him, What will remain then? And come back, we come back to these verses in Isaiah. We check the Apostle Paul, Philippians 4:17, where Paul said, "You brought a gift to me out of your want." And he said, "It isn't that I desire you to bring a gift to me, but," he said, "I desire that you might have some fruit laid to your account up there, so that when that book is opened, it will show these people did something special, not for reward here, but for the Lord." John 15:16. Jesus' prayer was, desire was, that the fruit of your life, the efforts, should remain. God wants us to be able to have something up there that's in that book that's going to last forever. And one of the reasons why I'm so sure this ministering angel has been there many times before. While I was in the hospital years ago, I heard a voice while I was very, very sick. And I've mentioned this at other times. I've preached it here in the church. This message that came to me almost every day: strengthen the things that remain. Strengthen those things that remain. And he's talking about the same things. Strengthen those things that are going to last forever. And putting it in a word, God says that people are important to him. People are important. And God has involved himself with people. If you want to know where God lives in this earth, you look where people are hurting. You'll find his address. God lives where people are hurting. He wants to help them. He involves himself with the needs of people. This is one reason why so many other things that are done in the area of a performance may not have the eternal reward, because we haven't involved ourselves with an individual need. We've maybe like shooting a shotgun up in the air, hoping it may fall on the bird that you want to shoot. But when you get down on the level of human need, and you take a person in your heart and in your arms, something starts writing down in that book in heaven. Hallelujah! It's going down there. Praise God forever. These other things may help, but your personal love, your personal care, your personal concern, as you, not what you put and say, I owe this to God and I hope it gets to an individual, but when you see somebody hurting and your heart hurts with them, when you care. I asked the children tonight, and I had them in my meeting before the service, what is Jesus like? And these children told me that Jesus is somebody who loves to help you. If you're hungry, he'll provide food. If you're hurting, he wants you well. He cares about you. And this is, little children have the message about God. This is what God is like. And God's desire, underneath this beautiful covering that he's given to us, is that we be like Jesus. And Jesus, you found him moving out into the area of people's needs, didn't you? You've read the Bible. Praise God. So this message was so important to me. Personal involvement in your own family, your own flesh and blood. Not what you do for them, but what you are to them. What they mean to you. And this is why God said here, this is the thing that I have chosen, that you don't hide yourself from your own flesh. Somebody's member of your family or your relationship that may have been a stinker. They may have taken advantage of you. They may have lied to you. And you said, boy, I'm writing that person off. God doesn't want you to hurt the person by letting them continue taking advantage, but he wants your heart to go out to that person to help them in every way that you possibly can. Not only your own family, but the family of God. The Word tells us over in James, the second chapter, 14-16, he said, God desires for us to do good to all men, especially to the household of God. God wants us to represent Jesus and to be like Jesus to our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Do you believe that? That's what he wants. And this goes to your account. A person who is lonely that you can help. The person that may be hurting. Person that may be filled with frustration. Jesus said, if you have done this unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. And it's going down in the book. Hallelujah. It's going down in the book. Now the thing that surprised me in this message from the angel was this. That more important to God than your witnessing to people about his salvation was your being like him to them in their area of need. That really surprised me, because we've become so conditioned to feel that we weren't doing anything for God unless we were able to get out and witness and then be able to skillfully use the Word and show them the various parts of the Word. But this angel said, when you're out there helping people, you become to them the living Word. Because the Word is a book that says, I care. It's a book that says, God cares for you. And as you go out, you become the living Word. You're saying, God cares. I care because God cares. You become a word that's alive to them. Not a dead, printed word, but a living word. This is something that we can do. It's more important than witnessing. It's more important than quoting scripture. It's more important than teaching. Instead of witnessing, you literally become a witness of what Jesus is really like, what you are to them. How does that make you feel?
Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. And this is something everybody can do. You don't have to have special talent to lay up treasure in heaven. You can make a deposit in the bank of heaven every day. Because there's people that need help every day that God brings across your path. And you don't need special skill. You don't need to feel that you have to be so skillful and so careful in leading them to the Lord. You're bringing the heart of God right to them when you care for them in their place of need. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. And those angels have to write all fast when you start doing that for God. Praise God, because there's something going down in your account. And that's what Paul said. I pray that there will be some things to your account up there. Paul knew that there were a lot of things on his account, and he said, I know he's going to take care of those things. They're up there. And that's they're there. And when I come to that beautiful day when God, and it's going to be important. This God doesn't do anything that isn't important. This is going to be one of the most important days when that book is opened that has listed in there the records of your service, your love, your care. Hallelujah. There are some people whose books are pretty empty. But we can get out. While we're looking for the coming of Jesus, let's get out there and get that book full. Praise God. Not doing it for that reason. Mainly doing it because that's the way God's heart beats for them. And as you're close to Him, that's the way you'll feel about it.
Things that are done because of His love, His Spirit, are placed in our account. Matthew 25:35-40. He said that all of these things that we do, when we do it unto people who are in need, we're doing it as unto Him. Praise God. That visit to a rest home to cheer up some person that may be kind of down in the dumps. That time when you ladies care for a little child because the mother is so weary she can hardly stand it. You haven't looked for any reward. You've been tired yourself, but you said, I want to share this load with you. Something's going down in the book when that happens. When you've shown kindness to an individual by letting them feel that they're worth something, when they've been battered and beaten, and they're down, and they're depressed, and it seems as though their self-worth, their self-esteem is crushed, and you can go to them and lift up those hands that hang down. Ooh, hallelujah. This is what God said. This is what Jesus did. He went around all the time seeking these people that needed help to lift them up. Kindness. For God said that this is what He wanted to be known by, and the only way He's going to be known is through you. And this is why it's important for you to know what He's like. God said that to glory, not in wealth or wisdom or might or these other things, but a person's going to glory in this, that you know God, that He is a God of justice, a God who is filled with kindness, a God who will do the right thing, a God who is fair. For God said, in these things I delight, saith the Lord. When you go out and do the work of God, people have gotten it so mixed up. They felt like the only thing that you could do for God that was worth anything was what you did in a spiritual way. But it's hard to relate to a person's spirit. But it's not hard to relate to their physical needs, their bodies, their emotions. When you go out there, this is what Jesus did. Jesus said, I'm going to help you whether you have need or not. The other day, I had a man come to my office. I could tell that he was involved in a sin, a way of life that I hated. I can't stand it. In homosexuality. But the man had a need, and I had to battle. He didn't want prayer. He wouldn't even admit his need in this way. But he was hungry. Hadn't had any food for a while. And I had to ask, Jesus, what would you do? Jesus said, separate the man from his, separate the violin from the sour note. A man's mistakes are not him, that man. In peeling away the vileness, I could find the signature of God. He was hungry. Jesus said, if your enemy hungers, give them to drink. Give them to eat. So I had a hard time doing it. I'll just confess. I had a hard time. I thought there's some people that deserve this a lot more. But I told him. I said, I know what your life is. You can't hide it. I said, you're hungry. God cares about that. And I care. Here's some money. Ah, listen. I didn't do it to get something written down, but I know the angel had to do some fast writing. I wasn't thinking about that. But this is the thing. When you feel that Spirit of the Lord, His Spirit in your heart gives you that love for people. Did you know that? The first reason for God's Spirit within you is not to make you strong so you can do miracles. The reason for the Holy Spirit in you is to make you so you act like Jesus to people. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, goodness. All of these, you see, these things are traits that reach out to people. I wish I would have known a long time ago how God felt about people. God loves them. Jesus' walk on this earth was constantly in search for people that had need. And he's still looking for people that have need. And he has a whole lot of emissaries, representatives walking around. And he says, get out there where the need is. Get out there where the need is. You that have cooked a meal for someone that's been tired, or you've done something real nice like calling them up on the telephone, just telling them, brightening their day a little, letting them know that you cared. Hallelujah. Caring for those who aren't in the family of God is also, we talked about your own family, the family of God. Those not in your family, he says the fatherless and the widows that have a need. There are widows that they don't know which way to turn. It seems as though even finding direction is difficult. But he said, this is pure religion, and it's undefiled. And I've got a scribe angel writing it down, recording angel. Putting it down, James 1:27. He said, in this type of work is building out of gold and silver and precious stones. Glory to God. I think of the service this morning and the needs of people that are less fortunate than we are, living under in a tyranny, in a state of tyranny. And fear, and the way that people rallied this morning, and without any great plea at all, without even passing the plate, just what people could give as they walked by those who were receiving. I don't know the exact amount, but I know it comes close to $2,500 that was given. And the angel went on writing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've got a book there. You got a book there. But don't worry about all the times that you failed being written down in there. I remember some of those evangelistic sermons that used to make straight hair curl up tight. I think there were a lot of premature afros back in those days. But I heard one man in particular talk about that day when God took all the things that he was holding in reserve against you. He forgave quite a few things, see, but he kept out some of those choice bad ones back there to keep you going straight. See, he wanted you to know that you were going to have to face those things, and that they were back there, held in reserve. And on that day, he was going to take a big screen and a projector, and he was going to crank out all of those things for all the world to see, your friends and your family, all of those horrible things that had gone down. And in order to justify it, he said, no, the things that you did before you were saved, they were all forgiven. But everything that you did after you're saved, God just really takes those things and keeps them in reserve to be held against you. And I tell you, there have been a lot of people that really squirmed when they hear a message like that. And they really moved some people, seemingly for God. The only problem was, it isn't true. And this, one of the things this angel so definitely said, that this message is in conflict
and contrary to the character of God. That when you give God that thing, and you confess it to Him, He destroys it, He wipes it out, and He says never to remember it against you anymore, forever. If you're here tonight thinking that on that believer's judgment, a lot of things are going to be brought up against you, you've got another thing coming. Even if you do think there's a bunch of things coming against you there, God isn't going to do it just because you think so. He doesn't want to embarrass you. He's not going to. It's a day, a beautiful day. Now, what actually is going to happen on that day is that Christ is our foundation. Nothing can move Him. He's the foundation. Your faith and your trust in Jesus puts you on a foundation that can never be destroyed. Your faith in Him, what He's done. Now God tells us, all that you've done that's been like Jesus is going to be permanent and lasting, just like that foundation. And there are things that have troubled you during your lifetime, things you long to be free from, but seem like human weakness kept you from it, and all of these things that have held you back. And there are things in each one of your lives, personality conflicts, and there are weaknesses, there are faults, there are failings, there are things that you've blamed yourself for over and over. But on that day, God is going to peel away all of those things that are not Christ-like. All of those things that have served their purpose or not served a purpose, but that will not remain, He's going to push them off to one side. And over in Luke, I believe it is the third chapter, and it's mentioned several places in the Bible, but the verse escapes me now, but I'll find it here for you. The 17th verse. He said that he was going to separate the chaff from the wheat on that day because he's looking for that kernel that's going to last, that's going to remain. And the chaff, God is not raising a barn full of chaff. He has no use for it. The only reason he has that is he's removing it from your life. So that which is perfect, that which is like Jesus, will remain and it'll stand on that day. Hallelujah. 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 And Angel, if you're here tonight, I thank you for telling me about this. The angel actually made this statement that God is not interested in the chaff. But to hear some people say it, God is so interested in the chaff, He keeps all of it listed in the separate books, all different kinds of chaff. He isn't interested in chaff. All He's interested in is what's inside of that chaff, that little kernel, that nut, I mean whatever's inside there. He's going to move away the shell, and He's going to find something that's going to last forever. Praise God. Now, I would like to have you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And here the Apostle Paul is making reference to the foundation that's going to last forever. Verse 12, he said, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, those are the lasting things that are permanent things. That's what you're doing for God. Then there's going to be things that are temporary, a lot of temporal things. Good things, but they're temporal things. Things that aren't so good that are temporal. Bad things that you've tried to be free from. But you're on the foundation, you see. But the God is going to liberate you from all of the things that could have held you back.
You're going to be free. The things of time are going to pass away. It's a time of great reward where God brings commendation to his people. Hallelujah. There's not going to be one person present at this believer's judgment who is going to hear one harsh word of condemnation. Do you know why? Jesus has already borne that condemnation for you. He's already borne it. Not going to be one. And so, as the light of heaven begins to glow, the things of this earth that becomes are so transitory, and they begin to melt and to fall away, and emerging are going to be people of all different levels of spiritual growth and a spiritual life. But all of the things that are transitory are going to be gone, and you'll stand on that foundation. In the eyes of God, not in the eyes of judgment, but in the eyes of love and of kindness, a day that's so special to God, a day that he's looked forward to, a day that Paul said, I know I can trust him to keep those things I've committed to him. And here you find it in the fifth verse of chapter 4, as he goes on speaking about this. He said, therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Every person is going to hear the words, thank you. Thank you. You did a good job. Some people did more than others, but everybody there is going to have praise of God. I asked this angel about the things of darkness and the counsels of the heart. And he said that there are thousands of people who are serving God, doing things, never expecting a word of thanks. They're doing things constantly, every day, out of love in their heart, not expecting a reward, not telling anybody. Nobody knows about it. Thankless tasks, little things that have helped people. No one knows about them. They're hidden in the dark corners of that person's life. Never exposed to the light of commendation of people. They're there. But God's going to throw it all back and turn the light of heaven in on it. Hallelujah. And all of those things. You say, well, I don't really want thanks. But God says you've deserved them. I'm going to tell you thanks anyway. So all of those things that are hidden. This doesn't mean darkness in relation to the enemy. There's a lot of kinds of darkness. So the enemy this angel referred to this as being the hidden, covered things that people have not known about your life. God's going to tell you thanks because he knows about them. Hallelujah. What do you think about that? Praise God. He knows it. He even knew those things that you were thinking about, those good thoughts you had about people. God said, they're even worth some credit up here. Praise God. The counsels, the thoughts that you have in your heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. The Apostle Paul said, the day was going to declare it. It's going to be known what the beautiful things that God has written down and has reserved for you. Praise God forever. I've had people say, well, this isn't, I don't see where that's so very important. God doesn't do things that aren't important. God doesn't do things that aren't important. And tonight, as you look forward to the days ahead, I don't know when the Lord's coming. I really wish that this angel would have given me a little indication. But he didn't. But I do know this, that something's taking place around here. Praise God. I wonder how many of you have noticed a fulfillment of these words I gave you 2 weeks ago with people of your families or those that you may know that are being touched and moved upon. Can I see your hands?
Hey, I want you to turn around. Look at all those hands, folks. They're all over. People have been touched by the Spirit of God. Members of families, they've seen God moving on them, moving away the hindrances and helping them to come to God. I wonder if Dan Bate Brown are here tonight. Can I see your hands if you're here? You here tonight? I don't see them. But this man that called from Cody, Wyoming, in the middle of the night last night, was a brother-in-law to Dan and Betty. And when they find out about this, they're going to be so excited. He called at 20 minutes after 2 this morning, and he didn't know why he called. He said, "I just couldn't sleep." And he said, "I heard a loud voice saying, 'Call Pastor Buck.'" And he said, I wouldn't do it. And that voice, he said, got kind of angry and said, "Call Pastor Buck." And so he did, and he apologized. He said, I hate to call a person this late or in the middle of the night like this. But he said, I don't know what else to do. And I don't even know why I called you. So I told him, "I know why you called me." I was a little bit sleepy and a little bit, I was going to be glad the call's over. But when I heard what he was talking about, I came to real fast. I want you to know, because I knew that there was a big angel there that pushed him right to the phone. And I knew that because of what God was doing, God was ready to do something real special. So I said, "Okay, God wants you to give your life to him right now." And I told him about God sending these angels into the world. I said, "You are highly favored of God because your brother-in-law and your sister-in-law love God. God cares for you." And he said, "I want you to." Told him that God was out with these angels rounding up the strays. And so, he said, "What'll I do?" And I said, "Okay, I want you just to turn your life over." So we had some prayer right on the phone. And he said, "I'm the happiest man in the world right now." Hallelujah. Praise God. My wife wasn't very happy. She was the one that got up to get the phone when it rang several times. But she it has a long cord, so she was able to hand it over to me, and I didn't have to get out of bed, you see, and got all the fun. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're living for the Lord? Isn't it exciting? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I've had a lot of people say, "I just wish some way I could hear God audibly say something to me." Don't worry, it's real soon. If you don't hear it before that, you're going to hear him say, "Hey, you did a good job. Thanks. You did what I would have done had I been there. You did what I wanted you to do. You moved down in the area of human need, and you did my work for me." Hallelujah. And I believe that more people are going to be saved and turn to God when they see you doing God's work for him in this way, then you are going out there and trying to put the bee on them as far as helping them turn to the Lord and showing them the other way. People are hungry, longing for somebody that actually becomes the bouncy, living word that they see expressed right before them. Hallelujah. And this is something everybody can do, not just a few skilled people. We can all beam out that love of God to people we see. Hallelujah. Don't you feel like getting out and finding somebody in need and doing something for them? Hallelujah. How about some one of those brothers or sisters that you haven't talked to for a long time? You ought to give them a call and just say, "Hey, boy, I'm so happy. I believe the circle's going to be unbroken after all up here because God's on the job and he's working." Praise the Lord. Praise God. This way, he said, you're dealing your love out to your own flesh, your own blood, the life that Jesus has. Sometimes the people that are members of the family are the hardest ones to talk to, but they're not the hardest ones to help and show the love of Jesus to. The world needs to see Jesus. What the world needs is Jesus. Just a glimpse of him, and they can see him through you. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, listen, I'm going to close in just a minute, but I have to tell you the last little bit that on this particular subject that this angel told me. He said that the real desire of people's hearts, the longings that they have, even in this life, will be met when they take care of this other part and represent him to people in need. Here's what he said would happen. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 58, because I want you to do some underlining here. This is something that's real close to the heart of God, and he's been using it a lot. He said, when you do this, then suddenly things are going to start happening inside of you. It's not all pie in the sky somewhere else. It's some pie right now. Listen to it. When you do this, verse 8, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily. You like some of that divine health? He said, here's some good stuff that you can have right here. You don't have to wait for that day. And he said, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be your protection. The rear word means the protection about you. The enemy cannot sneak up on you. You don't have to look over your shoulder. The glory of the Lord is going to be your guard. That supernatural anointing and touch. Praise God. Then he went on to say, then shalt thou call. He said, I'll even answer your prayers now. If you do this, you can find your prayer getting through. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. How do you like to hear that? Praise God. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth the finger, the speaking of vanity, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, there it is again, you see. He wants us to help people and to satisfy the afflicted soul. Then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. Oh, hallelujah. He said that you would have a beautiful blessing here of confidence. And if you want recognition, God will certainly give you recognition. You'll rise in obscurity. Then he went on to say furthermore, that he would give you purpose in life. He would give you guidance, verse 11, guidance and happiness, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in the drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Then there's some other things. You want to see something accomplished for God? God said, if you do this, you'll actually find purpose in the other things you want to do. But he said, we've got it reversed. Get this part done first. Be like Christ to them, and these other things will follow. Here it is. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, all those places that seems like the enemy may have broken down, the devastated homes, the lives that may be hurt that the enemy has torn all apart. He said, you'll build up those devastated places. Hallelujah. And shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. There'll be your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, or your grandmothers and great-grandmothers and grandfathers. The whole thing. Have built up some good solid foundations under the whole family. Because God is concerned about the families. Hallelujah. Many, many generations. Praise God. Then he said the spiritual losses would be recovered as these foundations of hope and life are built up. Then he went a little further, and he said, you shall be called the repairer of the breach. Lives that have been torn apart because of bitterness and resentment, because of your love, will come back together. Hallelujah. You restore the breach between people and people and between people and God. You'll be able to slip their hand back in his. And you will be known as one
who is clearing the path in front of people, the path that leads them back to God. You will be the one who restores the paths to dwell in. Praise God. What do you think of that? You see, it's not just something that's going to happen because of the good things written down in the book, but it's what's happening right now in all of our lives. Praise God. We're going to turn this entire room into a prayer room right now. I have so many other things, but I'm going to say them. Because there will be other times that I will be able to share them as part of a message. But this angel touched on so many, many subjects, and I haven't used up even a portion of the scripture that he made real to me, but I've given you enough tonight to know that God's on your side, and that God, in the preparation of a people for the Lord, wants us to lay aside that rebellion, move back under his covering, to turn away from other gods that we may be serving and putting above him and linking arms with him, moving with him, not worried about other things in the normal course of life. That isn't going to make any difference. You're under the covering and God isn't going to go down to look underneath. But these other things, as you walk with him, you're going to find places to serve him. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. I believe that tonight, you've been sitting so long, I'm going to ask you to stand right now all over the building. And I can't help but feel that there are people that the Lord has spoken to very, very clearly tonight. And you feel such a desire in your heart just to come up and talk to the Lord here at the front for a while, to reach out and put your arms around him, and to tell him, God, help me tomorrow and this week to find those people that are in need of help, knowing that I'm serving you. This is why he's given us the Spirit. This is why he has brought us to himself. And so right now, while the organ is playing and our hearts are quieted before the Lord, if you just feel that you would like to come and just kneel here in God's presence, stay just as long as you like, but just draw from him and from his love and his life. For the Lord is here. He's ministering. And there's not only this great angel is here, but there's others of his host are here tonight to minister and to touch lives. They're sent forth. They're on assignment tonight. Hallelujah. And he's told these angels to take charge of you, to give you guidance and direction. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. There'll be room enough where you can kneel all along. If you want to come up to the benches here or these front pews, we can kneel before the Lord. In fact, why don't we kneel all over the building? Right, instead of standing, would you just spend a few moments? I realize it's a little bit later than usual, but this isn't a usual service tonight. God is here in a very unusual way. And there's some things you need to tell him tonight. Would you just kneel for a few moments? And then when you're through, I want you to slip out quietly. But I would like to have everybody in the building just kneel before the Lord for a few moments. Let him minister to you. Talk to him. Thank him that he cares for you so much. Oh, God. God, how we love you. Oh, God, how we love you. God, I thank you. This message must be so important to you, God, in order to speak to me about it. And if it's important to you, it must be important to us. We thank you, God, for reminding us. Oh, Jesus.
Jesus, may wounded lives, even who are present here tonight, be healed because we've listened to your voice.